Good morning. I'd like to welcome each one out to New Harmony Baptist Church. Our Friends and Family Day has a little like been a success. I see some familiar faces and some not so familiar, but again, make yourself at home and just worship the Lord this morning in spirit and truth. I've been looking forward to this day. There's some restrooms out this way if you need to go. There's some this way. Pat may not trip you, but you can still go there. Huh? Yeah, she got her horse parked over there. We'll let you in on that joke. But again, good to have you this morning. Been looking forward to this day for a while. We planned it and looking forward to getting our friends and our family that's not usually in church with us to come worship and see some. Good to have the Oswalds back with us this morning. I know they're missing their church this morning. May still be able to make it over there, but good to have them. And got my mother and daddy, my grandmother here. Don't get to be in church with them very often, so just a great day. Looking forward to it. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get started? I know we have many people in our communities hurting. I know some's unasked prayer for the Barker family here in Heflin, so remember them. We have many suffering from cancer and treatments and different things, but any we don't know about. Quiet this morning. Be with our church. Remember our church as we go forward. You see our building down there. We got some gravel in there, and that thing is starting to take shape. And looking forward to getting that going. Hope to see some metal standing up pretty soon. So getting excited about that. Have no other prayer requests. Brandon, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for this morning, God, and what you're doing in this church, God, what you're doing in the hearts and minds. People in this church, God, we pray today that, Lord, until we're present here, God, that we can have an authentic worship service and an encounter with you this morning. God, we'll be with all those that mentioned in prayer for prayer requests this morning. God, continue to be with this church, watch us over us, and guide us and bless us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Thank you.
worship.
Thank you.
Message, I don't guess I was thinking, but it's one the Lord put on my mind that was going to be after Thanksgiving, and the title of the sermon is You Don't Weigh Enough. Some of y'all were to give me some money after this one. You Don't Weigh Enough. Give you a little background where we're going to be this morning. Daniel chapter number 5, it begins a story of Belshazzar. He is a king, or the Bible calls him a king, and he was, but at this point he was second in command. His father was off at war, and his grandfather was the King Nebuchadnezzar, you may have heard a lot about. But at this point, he was second in command, and this story is a true story. It's in the Word of God. It's a true story. But it tells about a king who was enjoying life when things was going terrible along outside the walls. His city was under attack, and he didn't know it. He was living it up. He was to had all the wine they could drink that night, and the part where he messed up was he brought in the holy things of God into an unholy situation, and God can't have that. So he begins to tell Belshazzar something that he's being weighed in balances. And that's what I want you to see this morning is each one of us is being weighed in balances. Now, we don't have these very much in our society these days. We have scales more so now that we weigh things on, but back in those days, they weighed on balances. If you was going to trade something for something, then they took it and they put it on one side of the balance and yours had to weigh up or whatever it might have been. Or they had a stone. If it was to weigh this much, one stone was put in this side and you had to balance this thing out. And that's how the Lord is with us today. Our lives have got to be balanced. And the sad thing is there's many things we try to balance it with instead of God. But I promise you something this morning, you do not weigh enough. You say, preacher, you don't know how much turkey I eat. I don't care. You say, you don't know how much I've done. You don't know any of this. I don't care. Well, I'm telling you this morning, as I promise you, if you'll allow me just a little bit to preach, I'm going to hope the Word of God will show you you don't weigh enough. You don't weigh enough. In Daniel chapter number 5, begin reading in verse 22, it said, "Thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all of this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of this house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was a part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written." This is the writing that was written. "Many, many, tekel, upharsin." This is the interpretation of the thing. "Many" means God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. "Tekel" means there are weighed in the balances and are found wanting. "Perez," the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. "Then command Belshazzar, and thy clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old." If you understand when I was reading, this was Daniel interpreting the writing on the wall. We've heard it all our lives that somebody begins saying something, and it looks like things are bleak, and they'll say the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. And that's what the hand of God came and wrote upon the wall in front of Belshazzar to let him know that his days was up. It seems like everywhere we look today, we begin in our Sunday school class, we had a real uplifting lesson this morning about getting old. And we learned something that your hair falls out. It turns gray, your muscles quit working, all these things happen, and I'm just trying to lift you up this morning. And Pat said, if you don't believe her, just ask her, that all these things begin happening. But what the Word of God tells us all this for is get us to understand something, that each day we're closer to death. Each one of us is closer to the day that we go home to be with the Lord, or we go to our eternal resting place. The Bible's very plain about that. There's only two. There's not an in-between. There's heaven and there's hell. It's that plain today. And if we're going to be heaven, if we're going to make it into heaven, our balances has to be balanced. Not with our good works or any of this stuff. And I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. But here, Belshazzar, you heard me say, he had made a great feast. The Bible says, you begin reading this thing out further in the verse, chapter number 5, and it tells us that he fed a thousands of the Lord's lords. And he brought in all the best wine, and they was there, and they was drinking up, and they was eating, and boy, they was having a great time, Rudy. They were just enjoying life at this point. And he just had to go one step further. He said, I'll tell you what will make this thing even better. Let's take those vessels that come out of the house of God, and let's drink in them. Boy, does that not sound like something some crazy person does at a party when they think they're having a good time? And he said, let's take these things out. So they took the vessels that his grandfather had moved out of the house of God, and they began drinking wine in these things. And I want you to see something this morning. God has set each one of us that is saved today, we're set aside as a holy vessel. Or we're to be used for the works of God. We're not to use that vessel for anything worldly. We're not to use it for anything that's against God's will. And when we do that, we bring God's anger upon us. It's plain right here that he was very angry with these people. He could not have this. He had took the holy vessels and turned them into unholy things. I wonder in our lives today, how many times are we guilty of taking holy vessels, that's what we're made at salvation, and using them for unholy things that we get tied up in this world. I don't know about you, but it's a struggle with me. I have found out something in my young life, Pat, that it don't take much to get me. It don't take much to trip me up. It don't take much to get me out of God's will. I found that out pretty quickly. But listen, some people go through life, they say they know God, they say they're saved, and they live any type of way, and according to the Word of God that I'm reading to you this morning, God cannot allow that, and God will not allow it. You're messing on dangerous ground. You're walking on a slippery slope, and the Bible plainly tells us the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. Now, I begin to think about our lives today, and I begin to think about those balances has been on my mind all week, about balances. And I wish I had one to bring up here and to do a better illustration for you, but they'll tell you here I'm not that fancy. I barely can turn a computer on or any of that stuff, so I just have to do the best I can do. But here I begin thinking about those balances all week. And I thought about that balance sitting on the table. And let's just say this. And we had a big old heavy stone that must weigh 500 pounds. And we put it here and we wrote God on this stone. We wrote God on it. And to try to show where we are today, I begin thinking of some things that we might put in the other side that would try to level this balance. And we're guilty of this, y'all. We do it every single day. If we're not guilty, we do it. If we're not careful, we do it on Sundays. We begin doing some things. Let me show you some things that we put on the scale to try to make this thing level out. A lot of us put our good works on there. We put our good works on there. We'll come to God and say, Lord, you know all the good things I've done. Lord, you don't know how many people I fed at Thanksgiving. Lord, I've done all this. Our men's ministry, we took plates out, Lord. We've done all these great things. So surely that I've got a little something on the scale this morning. Surely there's a little something I can put to try to balance this thing out. And listen, there's many people that volunteer countless hours at shelters. They volunteer countless hours at pantries and different things to give to the needy. And listen, that's very important, and I'm glad you do it. But let me tell you something. On the scale of God, it don't measure up. It don't measure up. It's something we should do because we're saved, but it won't work. It's nothing on the scale of God. In the book of James, the Bible tells us plainly that we begin to work once we're saved. We don't work to gain salvation. And in so many places and so many people stand and they teach this, and it's completely against the Word of God. There's not a work alone that can save a man. The only thing that saves a soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the death, burial, and the resurrection that saves a man, and it's simple faith in that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. Through what? Saved by grace, through faith. It's not a works. You know why? That God didn't make it a works, because I could stand up here and I could tell you I must be saved because I preached 100 sermons. I must be saved because I fed 100 people. I must be saved because I taught Sunday school for 30 years. God gives me nothing I can boast about. The only thing I can brag about today is Him. He's the only good. He's the only work. So I think and I know that we put our good works on the scale. And I can just imagine it, Rudy, our good works being wrote on a piece of paper, and here we got a rock with God written on it, weighing 500 pounds, and we throw our little paper with good works on this side. And guess what happens? That thing don't move. It don't move a bit because we don't have enough weight yet. Let's go a little bit further and see if we can gain some weight. And boy, it's all against Misty's philosophy this morning. She ain't going to like this message, but we got to put weight on today. Oh, that will be good for us at Thanksgiving. But we try to go to good works. Another thing we do, we put our money in. We put our money in. Boy, this is a big one. I've heard people, and we've been to their houses and say, what must you do to be saved? And boy, you get all kind of philosophies today of what you can do. And there's many corporations, I believe, that men give. Now, I'm glad they give. We need them to give in our country. So people that don't have can have. But listen, this is nothing on the scale of God. We need your tithes here this morning to make this church happen. It has to be. People has to tithe. People has to give to make it work. But listen, it has nothing to do on the scale of God. God don't need your money. You understand that this morning? He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He spoke and the whole world come into existence. He can speak and more money can come into existence. He does not need your money. He does not. He wants you to give out of a right heart. But he does not need your money. How many people you think throughout this world has given thinking that this is going to be enough? Thinking that what I give out of my company or what I give out of my own pocket is going to be enough to get me into the gates of heaven. I've given these houses to people. I've given all of this. Surely the Lord is going to let me in. Surely my life is getting balanced out by all this money. Let me tell you something again, and you're going to hear it all through this sermon. It's not enough. Your money is simply not enough. You can read all through history about men who has given, and boy, they'll poke their chest out and say, look at me, how much I give. And listen, if you've got any money in your bank account this morning, you've probably got more money than I've got, so you don't have to brag very much in front of me. But listen, your money to God is absolutely nothing. It's nothing. You say, well, all right, I'll show you when we come time to take up offering, we won't give. Don't do that. We won't have any lights. Won't have any water. It'll be bad. Listen, we have to give, but it's not anything on the scale. And you know what's going to be sad? What's going to be sad is that day when the scale is weighed. Everybody's going to get this time, Terry. It's going to happen in every life. Every life is going to be weighed. It's going to be weighed. And those that are sitting there and they're thinking, well, surely I wonder what I've got on the scales. I wonder if I've got enough to pass this thing. Have you ever been real close and you check an account? And y'all can be honest with me. Y'all just as poor as I am probably. Have you ever had just a little bit of money in your checking account? And you got nowadays we got them debit cards, so you can't even write a bad check. But listen, you get them debit cards, and you go in there and you swipe that thing, and you hadn't looked at your phone app to see how much money's in there. And the whole time you're praying, I hope it approves. I hope it approves because the deacon's standing behind me and he'll know I'm broke. I hope it approves because so-and-so's behind me. Every single one of y'all in here has probably done that. But listen, that's kind of comical this morning. But there's coming a day when we stand before the Almighty Judge and we're going to have to see if our scales even out. We're going to have to see it. Our good works is in there. Here's our money, which is made of paper in today's time. We'll throw it in there on this side. But we still got the scale with a 500-pound God on this side. And guess what? Our scale still hadn't moved. It still hadn't moved one bit. It still hadn't even flinched yet. It hadn't done anything. So let's go a little bit further. We put our knowledge of God in there. Our knowledge of God. You say, well, oh, he's getting somewhere now. We put our knowledge of God in there. And I think this is one that probably is going to trip more people up, more keep more people out of heaven than their money, than their good works and all these things. It's going to be their knowledge of God. You turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. Matthew chapter 7, look what it says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. You know what this is saying to us? Many people today, you can ask them, you say, do you believe in God? They'll say, yes, I believe in God. I believe there's one God. You can ask them, you can say, you think God created earth? They'll say, yes, I think God created earth. You can say, do you think God holds everything in his hand? They'll say, yes, I think he does. You say, do you think God allows stuff to happen? You can just go on and on, and most people in our communities will agree with you that there is God. And they'll agree with you that God created everything, and that everything was created was by him, and they'll go along with you right there. And can you imagine the people that's going to stand there that day when those scales is pulled out and say, but God, I believed in you. I believed in you, God. I believe that. Somebody asked me one day, do I believe in God? And I said, yes, I believe in God. So what in the world are you talking about? Listen, James chapter 2, verse 19. Listen what it says. James chapter 2, 19 says, thou that believest there is one God does well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils even believe that there is God. The devils know that there is God. But listen, they believe that and they tremble today. I wonder if we have so many people who say they believe in God, who say they're Christians, but you never see them. You never run into them. You never encounter them. You never see them into the house of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with it. People say they know God, but they're never around him. How many people do you know that you truly love? And if you search the scripture out, you know what the number one commandment is? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and body. You know what number two is? Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? You'll have people that say they know God. People say they love God, but bless God, they're never around him. How many people in your life do you know and that you like and that you love? Now, Alabama fans, I can understand us not wanting to be around Auburn fans today. It just makes sense. I ain't trying to get on you, brother, but that's the way it is. It just makes sense not to do that. But no, seriously, how many people that you say you know them, and you say you love them, and you say you care for them, and they're your everything, how many people in your life like that do you avoid on a 365-day basis? None. You know why? Because if you care about somebody and you love somebody, you're around them. And you know what happens when you're around them? The relationship grows stronger. You grow stronger to that person. How in the world does a husband and wife grow stronger? They spend time around one another. That's how it happens, and sometimes it may be why they grow apart, bless God. But listen, we've got to move on. But we spend time around each other, and you have people that tell you, I know God. I know him. Are you sure this morning? Are you sure that you know him? Or have you just heard about him? Or you just know the thought of him? Or you just know what some preacher has stood and said about him? We was talking last night. I was talking to somebody somewhere. I can't remember when it was. And We're talking about churches and why is it so many pastors are, why so many getting down and out, why so many quitting, and it seems like that churches all around us are looking for pastors, and what's the deal? Is God not calling them? No, it's not that God's not calling us. Men has got discouraged. They've got discouraged. They stand, they preach, and people say, well, I know God. I know God. There's no use to me to go down there to the house of God. Let me tell you something. Scripture plainly teaches us that if we belong to Him, we desire to be around Him. If we desire to be around Him, we desire to be around His people. If you desire around His people, you know what that's called today? Well, that's called a church. And I've heard people say, well, I can be just as good as you at home. Well, I say, you know what? I want to meet you today because I can't. If I was at home right now, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be watching TV, Pat, or out riding my horse or something. I'd be doing something. I know what I'd be doing. I wouldn't be at home watching the TV. Listen to some preacher. I think that God knew how us people are. He knew He needed to set a time aside that we could come into the house of God with other believers and worship. Listen, I love my church family. If you don't have a church family today, I invite you to become part of our family. And you may love some of them and some of them you might not like. It's just the way families go. Do you love everybody? You better love everybody in your family. Do you like them all? Somebody answered that, see? We might not like them at all times. But he says even the devils believe and tremble. Even the devil believes there's God because he knows he is. He knows he's there. And how in the world can you look around this great world that God has made us and not see a picture of God? It's impossible. How can you look at a little baby that's born, that's in that womb, and how God grows that thing, and it comes out and it takes the first breath, and automatically the blood starts going to the right places, and everything works? How could you deny God? You can't. You can't deny God. So people say, I know there's a God. I've seen my child born take the first breath. I've seen the fall time. I've seen the spring time. How new life comes. So clearly Romans tells us in Romans, I think it's chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, that through creation there's not an excuse for any of us to know that there's a God. You have no excuse. You can go anywhere you want to, and people worship something. You go to Africa, and people worship something, right, Grayson? They worship something. They might not know the true God yet until missionaries go there and begin preaching the gospel, but it's built into every single one of us to worship something. We know that there's God. Let me ask you something. Do you have a relationship with Him? This is where the difference comes in. The devils don't have they know God's there and they tremble because they know what their end's going to be. That lake of fire for eternal separation. They know what's coming. So the Bible says that they tremble, realizing that's on the way. But they don't have a relationship. You see, me and you today, we can have a relationship. You know what the devil was? You've been studying about the devil. He was one of the most beautiful creations God ever invented. He was. You go to, I think it's Ezekiel, I think, tells about him. Some more verses tell about the devil and how beautiful he was. You know what he was? He was an angel that God created, and he fell because of his pride. And he fell. So listen, and you go further, and I think it's in Peter. It tells us that even the angels search out and try to figure out this thing called grace. It's not offered to them, but it's offered to me and you today. We get an opportunity to have a relationship so we can truly say, I know God. How many people have you been around when you begin talking about somebody famous? They'll say, I know so-and-so. I know him. You say, oh, you do? What's his phone number? Well, I don't really know him that good. I have met him one time. Listen, there's a lot of people I could say I met one time, but how many people do I have a relationship with? That's when you know somebody. So if we put our knowledge of God on our scale this morning, here we are with these three pieces of paper over here and one big stone that weighs 500 pounds with God written on it. We still ain't moved it. We still ain't moved our scale. We need to go just a little bit further. We put our church letter in there. Oh, I'm a member of New Harmony Baptist Church. Surely I'm going to heaven. I'm a member of New Harmony Baptist Church or such and such church or whatever you want to put there. Surely I must be going. I remember a time when they put my name on that roll. I come forward. Maybe I don't know how you got saved or whatever happened, but you say, I know there's a time. And listen, I know my name was on that roll. Let me tell you something. The name of your name being on New Harmony Baptist Church roll is important to me, but to God, what's important to Him is your name being in the book of life. That's what's important to God. He don't care. You can have your name on every church road down here and every man-made denomination down here. You can have it on all that stuff. But if you don't have a relationship with God, if you've never been saved, if your name hadn't been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I got bad news for him today. You're hung in those balances and you're found wanting. It ain't leveling out. Probably not good English, but it's true. Listen, we put our church letter in there. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18 and 19. Little children, it's the last time, as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That's a little confusing, isn't it? Let me fix you, help you with that. When I was preaching earlier about the church membership, and about people saying they know God, not into the house of God, right here's you a verse that plainly teaches you something that we need to understand. It said they was with us, but they're not here any longer. They said they had their name on the roll, and they was a member of New Harmony Baptist Church. And let me ask you this. I'm not picking on our church or any other church, but how many people have you seen come down, say they accepted the Lord, be baptized into our congregation? We give them the right hand of church fellowship, and today, which is maybe a year from that, a year ago, or 2 years ago, or even 5 years ago, or maybe 6 months ago, you can't find them nowhere. You can't now understand if they're in another church worshiping. Praise God. But listen, there's many of them that come down, accept the Lord, be baptized, and go through all the steps, and they say they belong with us, but where are they at? Where are they at? Listen to this verse. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. It's not me saying this, it's the Word of God. He said, if you ever was one of us, you're going to continue with us. You may not be here at New Harmony, but as a whole church of God that is the whole and universal church, you're going to be that. And I cannot believe, and you may get mad at me today and never come back, but I hope you don't, but I just want to tell you the truth today. I can't believe you can be a member of the universal church and not be a member of a small church. You know why? There should be a desire. When I got saved, I had a bunch of things wrong. And I've still got a bunch of things wrong, but one thing that God put inside of me was desire to be in church. He put a desire to be around God's people. There was a desire there. I tried. Listen, you can go many other places, and you can always find something that's lacking. With God, there's never anything lacking. You can go. We had a good example. And I know I've cut up a lot about it today, but being Alabama fans and Auburn fans, you can be an Alabama fan, there comes a point that they're going to get beat. You can be the fan of a certain race car, and there's going to come a time he's not going to win. You can be a fan of anything you want to in this world. It's not going to work. You can be a fan of your money. You can put all that stuff above God, and there will come a time that it'll fail you. But I challenge you to find a time in your life or in the life of any of these people in the Word of God when God ever failed them. You'll never find it. You'll never find a time when God has ever failed. You'll never find a time when you're not a winner with God. Never find a time. So we put our church letter in there. Man, this thing still hadn't budged. We got all these pieces of paper. The one rock right here with God written on it is still just all the way down over here. We hadn't budged this thing one iota. What in the world are we going to do? Do you hear what he told Belshazzar? Do you hear what he told him in that interpretation? He said, the meaning of this is that you've been numbered. You've been numbered. You've been counted. And guess what? Not only have you been counted, something has been found about you. I want to tell you something today. You, in the sound of my voice, God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your soul. He knows your life. He knows whether you're his or not his. He knows everything about you. So you've been counted. You've been numbered. You matter to God. And then we come upon that word, that tekel. That means you've been weighed. You've been weighed today. You've been weighed in the balances. You're at the same place that Belshazzar was. You've come up wanting. You've come up uneven. Something is missing. All these good things you put in there, they still haven't tipped the scales. What in the world are you going to do? We see what happened to Belshazzar. God tells him, he said, I numbered you. I weighed you and you've come up wanting. So tonight you're going to die. Tonight you're going to be taken away. The Persians are going to overtake your kingdom this very day. Do you understand something? All this I've been talking about, all this I've been preaching about, this man was in there having a party, and death was laying at the walls of his city. They was coming under the walls at the moment he was drinking and living it up. They was coming. They was about to overtake him, and he was there just living it up, brother. We're having a good time. I want to tell you something today, and I don't mean to discourage you. I don't mean to leave here all sad, but listen, you've been numbered, and you've been weighed, and there's coming a day that death is lying at your door. He may even be coming on your walls. I don't know. You may have 10,000 more years. You probably don't have that many. The Bible says you can't live over 120. But listen, you may have plenty of more years left. You may say, preacher, I want to wait. Belshazzar had no idea that night he would be gone. Belshazzar had no idea that what Daniel told him was right at his door. Daniel told him. He told Daniel. He said, if you can interpret this dream, I'll give you third command in kingdom. You'll be the third man in charge. Daniel tells him, to keep it to yourself. Because Daniel knew something. He wasn't going to last for about an hour. It wasn't going to last very long. You see, the things of this world don't last. You can put all the greatness you want on yourself, and it's not going to last. If you leave here this morning and you don't know for certain that your balance is weighed out, you need to do something about it. You need to get it weighing right. How do you do it? It's pretty simple. The Bible, we talked about this morning, Rudy, how simple the Word of God is. You know that the Lord, when he had this Bible pinned down, even put in here about investing in stocks? We talked about it this morning. It's clear in Ecclesiastes. He said you need to diversify. How many times you hear that on TV? All these people have been to college, say if you want to have some money, you need to diversify it. You need to spread it out. Solomon knew that way back in Ecclesiastes. God has figured everything out. And he knows all about you. He knows all about your life. And he knows today that you may be lacking. You may be found wanting. Your scale is not balanced out. So you know where this is going. You know how simple it is. If you've got 500 pounds on this side and nothing on this side, you've got to put 500 pounds here to make it even out. I went to Ramburn, folks, but it's still simple. It's still simple. If God is the one weighing us, you better have God on your side. How do you get him on your side? How do you get him? You say, you preach about it, and I know there may be warning, but what do I do about it? What do I do when I find out that there's something missing? How in the world do I do something? Listen, the scripture's pretty plain. It tells us we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us in here that's not a sinner. Not a one of us in here that's not come short of God's glory. There's not one of us in here that has not sinned. You was born a sinner. You got no way out of this thing at birth. You're born into that. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin was imputed to all man, and sin was taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to get out of here and get out of this sin. It's through Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way. You'll hear many other things taught in today's time, and we weighed some of those. No, they don't weigh enough. We've heard all these things, but if you hear one thing I say today, hear this. If your scale is going to balance, it'll only be through Jesus Christ. Your righteousness is filthy rags. All the good you can do, all the good I can do, all the sermons I can preach, all the lessons I can teach is filthy rags. You know what filthy rags was in that day? It was rags they tied around the wounds of leprosy. And we don't have to go much further than that, do we? It was nasty. That's what our righteousness is today. That's what my goodness is before God. Today, the only way our scale is going to even, if we come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Word of God says, and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. You say, you don't know how bad I've been. Don't matter. God doesn't say that. He says the only sin that will keep you out of heaven is a sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. The only one unforgivable. Any other thing you've done, you may have killed 10 people I don't know about. It don't matter. Don't tell me. I don't want to have to turn you in. You may have done all these bad things. You may have had an affair. You may have laundered money. You may have stolen money. You may have done all these things that I don't know about and that your neighbor don't know about. And you may say, there's no way that God can accept me. There's not. You can look all the way through this Word of God, and every man that God ever saved that he tells us about in this Word, everyone he ever used, everyone that ever preached his gospel, you search their lives out, and they was major failures. David, my favorite one, he committed every sin we think is bad. God said, you're a man after my own heart. You go on through the scriptures. Peter. Boy, Peter's my favorite one because he opened his mouth and he should have shut it. He'd opened his mouth at some bad times. Even denied the Lord 3 times right when he's going to be crucified. God forgive him. You haven't done anything today that Jesus Christ can't forgive you of and won't forgive you of. If you're here this morning and you know, and I don't know when your day's coming. I don't know when you're going to be put on the scales, but I do know it's coming. It's coming. The scripture tells us, Pat read it to us. We aggravate Pat because she's a few years older than us. And she read to us one day, and I think it was out of Psalm, says that death is one step away. One step away. After death comes these scales we've been talking about. One simple question as they come, a verse of invitation. Do you weigh enough? Does your life weigh enough? If it doesn't have Jesus Christ on this side, which is the very Son of God, that evens you out with God, if it doesn't have that, you are found wanting. Nothing else you've ever put on that side weighs enough. Just like paper. Just like feathers. The only thing that's going to even this out is relationship with Him. If everyone would, please stand as we sing. If you'll be honest with yourself. You know your heart and you know your life. I don't know anything about anybody this morning. But I knew, though, that God don't send a message in vain. You come this morning. You just need prayer, you come. You come for anything, and we'll do our best to help you this morning, to show you the way. This morning for being here. Our friends and family day, it's meant a lot to us, you being here. And we do things a little backwards here. So some people, we take up our tithes and offerings at the end. Maybe we should start doing it first before I make them mad. I don't know. But anyway, we do it at the end. It's a little different than you may be used to. But if everyone would please be seated and our ushers come forth, we'll take up our regular Sunday mornings tithes and offerings.
Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to come and worship you, and we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this time to pay our tithes and offerings to you, and we thank you, Father, that you have provided for us. We pray that you will continue to do that. I lift up each person in this sanctuary this morning, and I pray for each one and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amberly, you have no idea how much of a blessing you've been to our family. You've been like a sister to my brother and the daughter that my mom always wanted. From the moment we first started dating. There's an immediate bond between our families, and I knew then that you were my soulmate. Sorry. I love you so much. Amberly, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. So, Amberly, Marie Morgan, will you marry me?
Sitting there thinking is hidden in which most of us has knew about this for a long time. And when you come to a church, you don't never know what you're going to find. You're just not expecting a son-in-law. But wait a second. There was one, Bobby Garner, of course, was interim here, and I think Bobby called this before they even seen each other. Bobby felt like it would happen, so God knows what he's doing. He puts people in places, and we're not just... It's not just coincidence you're here this morning. You're here this morning for, of course, you may have knew this was coming, or for our friends and family day, whatever reason you were here for, but it's not an accident, the message God sent or anything. And God places us exactly where we're supposed to be at the right times to hear the right things at the right times of our lives. And again, if you've anything here this morning that has touched you, that if you know there's some, your life is in the scales of not being balanced out, I pray that you will find this before it's too late, whether it be today or down the road, this message comes back and you begin thinking of it, or maybe it was in a song that was sang here, or maybe something, someone said or something. I pray you find the Lord before it's too late. It's my prayer. And again, we appreciate you being our friends and family day. Those of our church family and everyone else that's welcome can come back tonight. We'll be having our Thanksgiving soup and salad here at the church. So come back and join us. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you as a part of our church. If you don't have a home church, this can be your home church. We'd love to have you here with us. we would enjoy you being here. These two here, they're going to need a lot of prayer. I mean, I joke about it a lot, but those of us that's been married for over a year, we know what it is. We know that every time's not like this. There are times it's hard, times it's tough. So I do ask you to pray for them. And, you know, this is a decision that many people make today, but and I'm not to be a downer, but we're living in a land where about 60% of these never make it. I'm not saying God ever intends us to stay in a bad situation. He doesn't. But he intends us to pray and to find our right mate. And that's scripture. He tells us not to marry unequally yoked. And that happens a lot of times. But I ask you to pray for these. Of course, I know nobody's hearts, but I do know Amberly, from the time she was born, I've aggravated her all these years, but she went through a time when she was, I can't remember her age, but she was having dreams that of hell. And she had nightmares, and she prayed that the Lord would save her, and those went away. And I've always used her as an example. I've doubted salvation a lot in my own life. She is one of the most sure persons of her salvation I've ever met. She's had failures and mistakes and sins since that day, but I believe with all my heart she knows the Lord. That's the most important thing we have for our children. So in dismissal today, as we dismiss, you come around and tell them you're going to pray for them and mean it, and I wish them the best. Any other announcements before we dismiss? No one else? Rudy, would you dismiss us, please?
Sure. Father God, we just thank you for the message that we heard today about the balance. God, we just pray that everyone would do the checks and balance on their lives and see if they have the salvation that would guarantee eternal life to you. Father, we thank you so much for what we witnessed today of love of two people committed to each other, and I just pray for them, God, that their life will be the way you saw. Father, I pray for each and every one came out today, Father. Lord, bless them, bless our church as a whole, Father.